We're in a series called God Meant What He Said. Man, it's been a powerful, power-packed series. God meant what He said. And man, if you get this, please hear this. If you have missed anything, livingouttruth.com. Go there, Believer's Chapel, Allegheny. Go there. Everything's on video. Everything is online. Don't miss this, please. This morning we're talking about, again, God meant what He said. Next week we finish this thing out. Next week we close this thing. And God meant what He said when He said that you are forgiven. Cannot miss that next week. That's powerful. We had an intro to it just now in worship. And I believe God will finish that next week. He meant what He said when He said you're forgiven. Folks, that's huge. Today, God meant what He said. I am the Lord, and there is no other. What happens if we get the proper picture of who God is? What happens with you and I in our faith? What happens to you and I in the circumstance of life? What happens in you and I when we recognize just how great God is? When we recognize that God meant what He said. When He said, I am God, and no one compares to me. I am God. Who is my equal? I am God, and there is no other. What happens in you and I in our spirits when we understand the absolute pure greatness of our God? And just how great our God really is. Gang, we're going to bust that open this morning. We're going to get into this, and I want you to walk out of this place with a refreshed or even a new, truly biblical understanding of just how powerful and how great our God is. Let's give Him the service. God, I thank You. I thank You for so many people in this weekend. God, I thank You for so many people here this weekend. To hear this about how great You are. God, I ask that You would give us an ear to hear this morning. God, give us eyes to see exactly what You would have us see this morning from Your Word. God, that our hearts would be hungry for truth, starving for truth, hungry to know what You say, hungry to understand You on a deeper level, hungry to increase in the knowledge of who You are. Father, thank You for that this morning. Give us ears to hear it. Father, by Your Spirit, just begin to move in every single soul and every single spirit and every single heart that's here. God, move indirectly right into our hearts, God, on an individual basis, one by one. Every person here, God, that You would speak to their life this morning. Folks, please, I'm asking that You would ask God, You're here this morning. No mistake about it. And I'm asking that You have come into this place to hear from God. I'm asking that You would ask God, that You would cry out to God. God, speak to me. God, give me ears to hear from You this morning. That I walk out of this place different. Walk out of this place with an increased knowledge of You. Father, speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Revelation 1:8. I want you to see this. This is where we're going to start this morning. Revelation 1:8. It says this, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Listen, this is God speaking. I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning and I am the end. This is what God says. He meant what it said. Listen, no one before me, no one after me. I am the start and I am the finish. I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning and I am the end. This is what He says. I am who is. Isn't it amazing? He starts with that in the present. I am now. I have always been, and I will always be. That's what God says. I am now. Have always been, and I will always be. Says what? The Almighty. Okay, you got to wrap yourself around. You got to understand this statement from God. I am the first, I am the last. No one was before me and no one will come after me. I've got this thing from beginning to end. I've got it. I have always been. I will always be. There won't be a moment ever that I am not. That's what God says. He says, I am the Almighty. When you break down this word Almighty, it means I am all ruling. I am absolute. I am absolute, hear that, universally sovereign. I've got everything under control. When you begin to break that down and you begin to see things and read things in news, and you begin to get all worried and depressed and bummed out because of what you saw on some stupid news channel, because you read some ridiculous article in the paper, And then we come back to a place to say, my God has this thing. My God is absolute and universally in control and sovereign. My God never blinks. My God doesn't miss a moment of time. And he sees everything that's taking place. And when you begin to paint the proper biblical picture of who God is, folks, this should bring a peace and a rest to where you're at in any circumstance of life, to know that God is still God and he will always be God and he will never change. Malachi 2 says, I am God and I cannot change. We begin to break this thing down this morning. I want you to see it. Just how powerful, just the magnificence and excellence and greatness and power of God. Come on, Genesis 1. Genesis 1. This is a different message from last night. It starts the same and doesn't end the same. Genesis 1. Look at this. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Stop. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Could you imagine if you stop right there? When we begin to unfold this, we begin to unpack the creation of the heavens and the earth. Could you imagine if you stop right there in the beginning? God, one God, almighty true God, I am God and there is no other. That God created the heavens and the earth. Could you imagine if you wrap your mind around that, if you can understand and believe the very first sentence in Genesis 1:1, the rest of the Bible is a piece of cake. Please hear this. When you wrap your mind around creation and you begin to understand what God did in 6 days, folks, the rest of the Bible is a piece of cake. If you honestly come to a place to believe the very first sentence in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And throughout this whole message, I want you to lose this earthly, fleshly scale that we put on God in regards to this is a big one. God, this is a serious, huge request. When you see what God did in creation, gang, please understand there's not a point of difficulty for God. If you know anything about swimming or diving, this is a difficult level of such and such. And in our, please hear this, in our minds, we think raising the dead is a difficult task. That's a biggie. Oh, that must have been something. To heal leprosy, that's whoa. To speak to the storm, ah. To send his son on a cross to pay for the sins of all mankind. Why is it that in the flesh we put this difficult scale? Because we don't really have an understanding that there is nothing too difficult for God. Nothing is hard for him. Nothing. Look at this. Genesis 1, verse 3. Then God said, amazing, the word of God. Then he said, let there be light. I mean, you should imagine what took place. In absolute darkness, God said, light be. Boom. I mean, you want to talk about a bang theory. That's the biggest bang that you go, wham. And there goes light just slithering through it. Because God said a word, light. That's, wow, power of God. That's day one, folks. Look at this, incredible. Verse 6, then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters and let it separate the waters from the waters. Now look at this, verse 8, God said, the expanse is heaven. And there was evening and there was morning and there's day two. God created the heavens. Look at this, day 3, verse 9, God said, let the waters below the mountains be gathered into one place so that dry land would appear. And it was so. Get this. Verse 10, God said, the dry land, earth, and the gathering of the waters, the seas, God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants, and trees. Could you imagine this, gang? Please, day 3, God said, earth, ground, dirt, mountain, all of a sudden, dish, these high peak mountains just began to form because God said, earth, and then trees, and then grass, and then vegetation. And then God said, the oceans, whoom, and then there's just sea upon sea upon sea upon sea. One day for God. Day three, the greatness of our God. And day three, folks, amazing, amazing. And then day four is this. And then God said, verse 14, let there be lights in the expanse of heaven. Let there be lights in the expanse of heaven. He created the greater light by day, the lesser night by night, and then the stars also. And he just said, boom, and then just billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of stars. Day four. Look at this. The Milky Way galaxy is this. This is our galaxy, one amongst billions of galaxies. They say we are somewhere to the right. Good luck. Earth, the little dot that you cannot see, somewhere to the right of the Milky Way galaxy, which is billions upon billions of stars. And then here you've got mankind, you and I, me, can't even see Earth. And yet, he loves mankind on that dot called Earth. Gang, when you begin to understand day four, this is one galaxy among billions. How do you wrap your mind around that? When he spoke light, it began to travel at 186,000 miles a second. So you take 186,000 miles a second, 60 seconds in a minute, minutes in an hour, hours in a day, days in a year, and you come up with this ridiculous, crazy number, what we have come up with in the flesh called a light year. Yeah, my brain hurts trying to think about this stuff. That's one light year. Okay, I want to show you the second galaxy. This is another spiral galaxy. This is as far as we go, because it's just way overwhelming. Now look at this. This is called the Andromeda Galaxy. Andromeda Galaxy is 2.5 million light years away from our galaxy, and that's the closest spiral galaxy to our galaxy. It just keeps going, and it just keeps going, and it just keeps going, and it just keeps going. And that's just a start. That was day four. That's day four. Telescopes can't even touch the end, not even close. Look at this, Isaiah 40 says this. Who measures the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by a span. The heavens that we can't come close to the end. Billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of stars made up of dust and gases and stars and things that are exploding. It is crazy. Day four for my God. Day four for the one who made a statement, said, I am the Lord and there is no one like me. Day four, folks. Look at this. And he says this in verse 20, and then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly. Time to fill the oceans, which we created, with things that swim. And time to fill the heavens and the earth with things with wings and the things that fly. And then day six, he creates the beasts, he creates the animals, he creates the things that walk on the land. Then he piles up this dirt. Whew. And makes man from dust. Puts man to sleep and shreds his side. Pulls out a rib and creates woman. How does he do all that on the sixth day? Because he's God. And there's no one like him. And there's no one that compared to him. When you begin to understand and recognize just the absolute sheer power and glory and magnificence and excellence of God, it is mind-blowing, folks. Mind-blowing. I want to read this to you. Please hear this. This is incredible. It says this, do you not know, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, the Creator, the everlasting God, the one who has always been, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not weary, He does not tire. This is what it says. For His understanding, His view is way beyond measure or inscrutable. This word inscrutable means things that we just can't even come close to fathom. When we get to the picture of just how great God is, we get to this picture, man, God, you spoke and it became. God, you said and it was. God, you are all powerful, way beyond the universe, way beyond the depths of the sea. Do you realize that the deepest point that we can find in the sea is 7 miles deep and we have yet found the bottom of the sea? That's God. And it says this. Listen, He does not weary. He does not tire. For His understanding, who He is without measure. So just when you begin to think you get a picture, just how great God is, God just throws this right out. Says, you have not seen anything yet. Your minds can't fathom how great I am. That's what He says. Just when you come to a place to think you know, God says, your minds can't handle the greatness of God. Man, when you start exploring the earth, you start exploring animals, and you start exploring the universe, and then you just are reminded, that's my God. You know what's so amazing? And for those of us who've come to the belief and understanding that Jesus Christ died on a cross for you, hear this. In that moment, when you come to belief, in that moment, when you confess your sin and you truly understand Jesus is Lord, something amazing and supernatural takes place where the Spirit of God comes in. The Bible says, takes residence in you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. The Spirit of God, isn't this incredible? The God, the supernatural Creator of all the universe has taken residence right in your heart, right in your spirit, and dwells within you. Gang, there's power in that when you get to understand and recognize and your eyes are open to the absolute sheer greatness of God and to know God by your spirit. You're right here with me. For whom shall we be afraid? For whom shall we be afraid when you know that the Creator of the universe and all His glory has took up residence in you. Folks, when you get this, there's not a circumstance that comes down your road that you can't overcome. I mean life or death, even the worst tragic situation, even in the midst of chaos, knowing what can man do to me, my God is sovereign. My God is absolute. My God is universally in control. And in all of this, I will trust Him. Come and look at this. Genesis 6. I want you to see this. Again, we're not going to talk about the judgment of God. We're going to, or the wickedness of man, but we are going to look at this and again be reminded of just how great God is. Please hear this. Look at this. Genesis 6, 17, talking to Noah. God is speaking out. Behold, I, even I, am bringing you, am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything, can't get it, everything that is on the earth shall perish. When God said everything will perish, guess what? Everything will perish. Here, wickedness of man took over. God came to the point to say, I'm sorry I even made man. Now I'm going to wipe out everything that lives, except for one family in a boat. Genesis 7, 19. Could you imagine? God, by His word, said, rain, heavens, open up, earth, open up, 40 days and 40 nights, it will rain. And in this flood, it will be a great flood. Matter of fact, it will be a global flood. People who say, oh, it was just regional. Really, let's see. Chapter 7, verse 19, the water prevailed more and more upon the earth so that all the high mountains, all the highest mountains that God created on day three, the highest peak, regional or everywhere, look what it says, everywhere under the heavens, was covered. Everywhere under the heavens, to the highest mountains, to the highest peak, everywhere under the heavens was flooded. Because God said rain for 40 days. Gang, do we recognize, really understand to the best that we can just how powerful God is? Of really just how great our God is? To recognize He is the Creator and He is the one who said rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Heavens open, earth open, and killed every living thing on the earth, except for that which was in the boat. And I believe the things that swam because of water. Amazing when you see the sheer power of God. It's incredible. It's funny that here Jesus is sleeping in the boat. The winds pick up. The boat's rocking. The disciples think it's game over. Wake up, Jesus. Jesus speaks to the wind, "Hush, be still." Man, his disciples, the Bible says, stood amazed. And all Jesus did was speak to the wind which he created. Not that difficult for Jesus. Why do we have this difficulty scale in the flesh? When we look at Jeremiah 32, where God is speaking to Jeremiah, he says, "Jeremiah, I am the Lord. I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" Jeremiah, get your mind back. Recognize who I am. Understand that nothing is hard for me. I am God. I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah, be reminded. Nothing's difficult for me. Remember that, Jeremiah. And then we see it in Matthew. I mean, we see it in Matthew, and it's really defined in Luke. Luke 1:37. Here you've got Matthew and Luke define Mary. And the angel's showing up, talking to Mary, saying, "Hey, Mary, big news. You're going to be pregnant, not to know a man, not to be the seed of a man, but to be the seed of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Going to be the Son of God." This is incredible news. You would think that this young girl would be like, "Whoa, what?" And the angel of the Lord in Luke 1 had to convince her. You know your cousin Elizabeth? Remember, she could never get pregnant? Well, the work of God showed up, and now she's pregnant. You know what the angel tells her? "Mary, there is nothing too difficult for the Lord." You know what Mary's next response was? Luke 1:38. "I am your bondservant. Be it done to me according to your word." Folks, what happens? What is your response? When you get that picture that nothing is too difficult for God, it just took a simple picture of her knowing it is impossible for my cousin Elizabeth to get married. She is barren. It's not going to happen. God shows up. Elizabeth gets pregnant, turns the switch on for this young girl, Mary. Nothing's impossible for God. "Be it done to me according to your word." And what is your response? When your eyes are open to the great I am, when your eyes are open that there's nothing difficult for God, what's your response? Our response should be one of worship. Gang, I'm hoping that our worship is truly one that is not our experience. It is one that exalts Almighty God. It is one that is thankful. It is one that is praise. It is one that is honoring and adoring God Almighty. And our worship would match our understanding of how great God is. Not in a way that is self-centered. Not in a way that is about you. In a way that is only and always just about Him. And how great He is. And our worship of Him would recognize and we would understand just how great God is. And our worship would match that. So that people see you in worship, or you in a way of how you're living, in a way of how we worship here in this church weekend after weekend, that it is one directional, to recognize just how awesome and how great and how powerful, how all-knowing and everywhere our God is, that it would match in a place in our lives. Say, God, as much as I can get it, you are great. And you so deserve to be worshiped, praised, honored, and adored, because you are the great I am. And no one compares to you. Folks, what's your response when you begin to get the biblical picture of just how great God is? I'm going to read some scripture. I just want you to listen to this from Isaiah. Man, you can get in Isaiah, and there's some amazing things that God says about him. Now, please, hear this. Isaiah 40 says this. And I'm just going to zip through Isaiah. To him, then, who will you liken me, that I would be his equal? Says the Holy One. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal? God meant what he said. He says this: lift up your eyes on high and see that who has created the stars. Isn't it amazing that God is saying right here, no one's my equal. Don't forget who I am. Don't forget that at any moment, in any night, that you can look up and you can be reminded that I am the great I am, that I am the creator of the very stars that you're looking into. He says, don't ever forget it, for there is no one who is my equal. And gang, I'm telling you what, there are so many nights when you're going through a struggle, you're going through an issue, you're going through a circumstance of life, man, I encourage you. I'm a stargazer. I look up and I'm amazed. It's just how incredible God is by his stars. And I am reminded, what can man do to me? God, I belong to you. And gang, it is a great reminder. He's telling us, lift up your eyes on high and see who created the stars. God has given us creation as a reminder that he is the great I am, and that no one is like him. The one who leads forth their host by number, calls them all by name, because of his greatness, his might, the strength of his power, not one is missing. Thus, God says, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and a spirit to those who walk in it. Isn't it amazing? We look at the galaxy and we look at earth and we look at and just the absolute very speck of God taking up dirt and breathing on it. Isn't it amazing that you have breath, gang, based on this passage, because God gave you breath? That's amazing. That I breathe because the creator of the universe chose to give me breath. Man, it is my desire to do everything I can with the very breath that I have to speak of his excellence and to bring him glory and praise that is rightfully due who he is, the very breath that he's given me. I am the Lord. Look at this, great. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to, and he meant what he said, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven image. I, the Lord, will go forth like a warrior. This is our God, gang. Get this picture. And the Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. Man, he will utter a shout. Yes, he will rise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. That's our God. That's a picture of absolute victory, where God Almighty, creator of the universe, is declared to be a warrior. He's declared to be a man of war, and he will shout out or raise a cry that is a war cry, and he will prevail against his enemies. Gotta see this. You gotta see this. Come on. Now look at this. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord. Folks, if you are a believer in Christ, Word of God tells us that we're his ambassadors, that we represent him, and we are called to be his witnesses. You and I are called to be his witnesses. So listen to this. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe and understand, so that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me, there was none formed. After me, there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. Please get this. If anyone is believing in anything other than God, other than Christ Jesus, who is Savior and Lord, gang, they are on a desperately wrong path. I don't give a rip how many people follow that path. I don't give a rip if it's taught in any system. I don't give a rip how many people are going after that. If it's not Jesus, it's a lie. God said that. God, he meant what he said. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Gang, it isn't all these different religions. The enemy is crafty, and he is crafty as they come, and he doesn't give a rip what you believe, as long as it's not Jesus. As long as it's not Jesus, there are not any other gods besides our God. They're a lie, and they're fake, and they're dead. They have no life, cannot compare to God. We have so many people who are broken and lost because they bought into a religious system, or they bought in, well, you can believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and you can believe in your God, and I'll believe in my God, and they are just so lollipop and gumdrop. No, this is what God said. I am he. Before me, no God formed. There will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. God meant what he said. And if we are going to be a church that is going to win the lost, and we're going to be a church that is going to go after the desperate, the hurting and broken, we have to be absolute foundational to know that God meant what he said. There is no other way. Don't buy into a lie. It's Christ, and it's Christ alone. And that's where our ground is. And that's where we need to be when you're trying to win your family, you're trying to win your neighbors, you're trying to win the people you work with. It is God, and it is God alone. God says this. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there is no strange God among you. There are my witnesses, declares the Lord. I am God. From eternity, I am he. There is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act. Who can reverse it? I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. He says this. This is great. You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? God, who knows all things, says, I know of none. There is no other rock like our rock. There is no other God like our God. Again, when you come to grips with this and you understand and recognize God of all creation knows your name. Man, I come to this passage and I'm just like so many times overwhelmed. We go back to our failures. We go back to our misses. We go back to sin in our life. For a God who knows all things, for a God who is of all creation. Psalm 8 says this, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man? That you take thought of him. God, when I think of galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies, when I think of how really awesome and great and powerful you are, and that you created this dot in one single galaxy, and you put me on that dot. And God, when I begin to cry out to you, you lean in. What? When I begin to cry out to my God and my King, he inclines his ear, the Bible says. That means he leans in. God, who am I? You would lean in to hear what I have to ask, or to hear what I have to say. Folks, that's a God of all creation, who has loved you and created you and have given you breath. Such an amazing way that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you. That you and I would be reminded this morning of one true, living, awesome God who knows your name and knows your failures and knows you better than you know yourself, and knows me and my failures, and knows me better than I know myself, that God will come to a place to forgive me, past, present, and future. And that would cause you and I to come to a place to stand in awe of just how great God is. And then you get this picture of His love for you. How do you wrap your mind around that? How can you wrap your mind on how much God loves you and He knows everything about you? Folks, that is a greater love than we should know. That is a greater love than we deserve. When you and I would come to a place to know that is how much the Creator of the universe loves you and cares for you, even in the middle. Even in the middle of your failure. Who am I that you would take thought of me? Folks, let's bow our heads, please. God, I am just hoping that we've painted a picture this morning just how great you are. Now you created us, God. And you have such a love for your creation, such a love for us. When we see it, God, when we really see it, it would drive us to stand in awe with a great reverence, with a great respect that you are God. You are the great Creator. You're beyond anything that we could think. Your greatness surpasses everything. And there is no one like you. Father, I ask that we get that this morning. And as Brennan sings this last song, man, I'm just asking that, folks, you would come to this place, even in the midst of your failure. You know that it's not fatal. You know that that's not the last chapter. And you know that even in your failure, Christ has overcome. Christ has overcome. The Creator of the universe leans in to hear what you have to say. Who are you and who am I that God would do such a thing? God, thank you. We love you. God, that we would stand in awe of you. No one is like our God. No one compares to you. God, you have no equal. No one saves but you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Come on, stand to our feet, please.